This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Kisha and Elizabeth, thank you so much for your words this morning. I just so powerful. And you said, man, I can't help what I've been through, but keep me from going to the same place tomorrow. And I love that. Or even later today, in the future. Just powerful songs. When we sing these songs, if we'll look at those, and if we listen to what they're saying, and they could touch us all in different ways. Different ways, different depths they touch us in. But I thought it was very powerful. Well, Wednesday night we talked in Bible study. We started a new study. And it was on sin recognition. And I asked a question. I said, how important is it for us to recognize sin? And everybody said, that's so-so. I'm just kidding. I want to see if anyone was paying attention. They said, it's very important. Very important for us to recognize sin in our life. And I thought, why is it important for us to know that? Well, it's important for us to know that because recognition drives awareness. If we say, hey, recognize this. Okay, now we have an awareness. We've got to be aware to recognize this. And then that awareness drives us to do what? To take steps. To make changes. To be what? More Christ-like in the things that we do. But it also helps us in taking steps to remove that sin from our life. And Elizabeth, I guess that's what I thought was so powerful. Elizabeth didn't know what I was talking about today. But it connected. He said, man, I want to break down those walls. And just keep me from these things. And I thought it's important that we recognize it. And we may be talking about two different things. But it was important because that sin in our life sometimes are things that we can't recognize or we have a barrier there and we have to knock that down. But our goal is to remove sin from our life. It's hard to remove something if you're not aware that it's there. My wife is present for that purpose. Adam, you have a big long hair growing out of a mole on your back that's 4 inches long. I wasn't aware of that. She's made me aware. Could you please, you know, she's not here so I can say that. Okay. And no, I don't have a 4-inch long hair growing out of the mole on my back or anything. But I'm sure she'll tell you that I've got something somewhere that I wasn't aware of. Okay. And that's what God's word is here to do. And I said that one time as we got into a Christmas message. I said, Jesus Christ came to shine light on our sin. And I remember a few people like, what? I said, yeah, he came to be light in a dark world. And his word said, hey, some people preferred to hang out in that darkness still. But he came in that light to shine a light into our sin or onto our sin so that we could be aware of it and then remove it and know that, hey, we do that through him. Yeah, we have to work on removing sin. It's not enough just to be aware of that. Be aware of that. And I can't imagine what happened a couple weeks ago as we talked about on Easter Sunday 2,000 plus years ago. I can't imagine that Jesus was okay going to the cross. Really, he was okay going to the cross no matter what, and he knew that. But I can't imagine that we would be okay, let's put it that way, if we had to go to the cross, knowing that some people were good enough just to accept him, say, I have eternal life. And we all have eternal life. Okay, let's get that clear. We all have eternal life. That one decision says whether we're going upward or downward. We're going to spend eternity in hell or we're going to spend it in heaven. And it's that calling on the name of Jesus Christ. It's calling on him to be Lord and Savior of our life. It says, hey, we now have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're going to heaven. But I don't think he'd be okay and say, it's acceptable to accept me, know you're going to heaven, and then just keep your life the same way. I invite people to church all the time and I tell them, come as you are. And again, Elizabeth, man, we must have been connected today. Because you said, thank you for this being a safe place and an open place that we all can come. I think, as my good friend says, with our kimonos open. You know, and we reference that Wednesday. We just come and we can say, this is who we are. And God says, you can come here. And so many times we get hung up saying, you can only come if or when. I have a friend that's struggling right now. And some people said, you can only call me when or if. And I reached out to him and I said, I want you to know I understand why they said that. But when you can't be that person, I'm here in the meantime also. Now, I won't allow that person to take advantage of me or whatever, but I'm going to be here when you can't be who they want you to be. And I think we need to be that same way to a certain degree to say, come in here. Everybody is welcome. Everybody. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter where you're at on your faith journey, come on in. Let's see if something stirs in here and attracts you to this guy. Because there were some different people attracted to Jesus as he walked around. Tax collectors, prostitutes. And you know, those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and priests and high priests and all that. They were like, oh, what's he doing with them? Man, he's trying to make a difference in their life. Amen? He's trying to make a difference in their life. Pastor Eric talked last week about the difference between knowing God. You know, it's one thing to know Him. It's another thing to live God, if you will. We can't just say we are His. I don't care about the rest. And we can't rely and say, that's all right. God's Word says we'll all fall short of the glory of God. So I'm falling short. It's one thing to fall short. It's another thing to not even aim and stretch for it. Okay? If we're not even trying, we didn't fall short. We didn't even try to get there. I fell short of my trip to Washington, D.C. Well, what happened with your flight? Well, I didn't even book one. You didn't fall short. You just didn't even plan to make it. So there's a big difference in that. So we can't say it's okay for me to be sinful because God gets this. God has grace and mercy. You know, there's an author that wrote a couple hymns back in the late 1800s, Frances Brooke. And she said, and it took me a while to reread this and really grasp it. And it said, my goal is God Himself, not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but Himself, my God. 'Tis His to lead me there, not mine, but His at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. Whew, that's a powerful statement. God, let me open myself up to you to do what in it? Your will. God, I've got to open myself up to do your will. Turn in your Bibles today, if you would, to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. You know, and as you're turning there, I've said this before. Hey, I know how to eat healthy, and I know workout routines that will keep me slender. Okay, but it does me no good to stuff my face full of food and sit around all day and do nothing active. My point being, I can know all about the Word and not do anything about it. And I think, Eric, that's what you were saying last week. We can know all about this. We can know this thing. You know, sin is the same thing. We can't claim to know Jesus. Hey, I know Jesus. He died on the cross for my sins. And then do my own thing and expect His blessings to rain down on me. I've heard a thing over the years at work, and I still maintain this and keep this for my own self if I need it. But we can't do minimum work and expect maximum reward. And I think I've said that here a time or two. God says, man, you can't do minimum work in my kingdom and expect the maximum reward. Now, there will be some reward, and all of our work will go through the fire. I've told you before, Eric and I have had conversations. Man, is it better to be a beggar on the streets of gold than to have it all down in hell? Now, I don't know that there'll be any beggars up in heaven, but my point was, I'm thinking of the thief on the cross. His life was wrong up to the rotten end. And in his last and final minutes or hours, he acknowledged his sin, while his friend on the other cross said, "Hey, this guy can't even get himself down. Big deal." And he looked at Jesus, I'm guessing, or he said to Jesus, "Remember me." I can't imagine what his work looked like when it went through the fire, but if ever there was a beggar on the streets of gold, I'd say it was probably that guy that waited till the very end. We can't expect God to pour down his blessings and get the benefits of a righteous life while living it for our own selves in an unhealthy, unrighteous lifestyle. So the question today for me begs, am I willing? Uh-oh. It's a willingness issue. Knowledge is one thing, but when it becomes a willingness issue, then it talks about action and something on our part. Am I willing to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? Accepting Christ is only the first step in a long journey. And while that's the most important step we can take, that's just the first step. If we stop there, we fall short of everything else. The first step, hey, I made plans to go to Washington, D.C. All right, did you book your flight and make arrangements where you're staying? I didn't do any of that. Trip's going to be pretty flat if you didn't plan how to get there and where to stay or anything. Being a disciple is more, we talked about discipleship over the last several weeks or months, and it's more than just knowing and following Jesus. Even the Sadducees or the Pharisees, they knew God's word. They knew what he was teaching. They may have even followed him from place to place. Some of them did. But when it came to being one of his disciples, they were not. Just because they knew the word and knew what he was teaching and knew where he was going and followed him to that place, that did not make them disciples. And I'm sure they would have said something if anyone said, "Hey, you're one of his disciples. I saw you hanging out with him." I can see that three denials. Not me. No, I was trying to kill him. One of those things. Many in God's word, other than those, many followed, many heard. But there's a couple places in God's word, and he says, but many walked away. Because he said, hey, there's some second steps you have to do. The rich young ruler, hey, I've done this, this, and this. There's a couple more steps. I need you to follow. I need you to take the things you have and I need you to sell them, or I need you to give them away. Oh, I can't do that. And that's what happens. We find out that it takes a little bit more to live this godly life. We think, ooh, I got to give up a lot of stuff. But because we didn't see the exchange rate on that, we didn't understand what we were getting in exchange. And because we didn't see it, we're losing out. If we know the Bible and we get that right, man, that's great. If we know the Bible and we get it right, that's great. But if our love is wrong, we're wrong. Okay? And let me try and help you understand. It goes back to what Eric said. You can't just know this and not have the love that it talks about. People can memorize this thing and quote it, and they say, but I don't have the love that it talks about. I don't have the love for my family. I don't have the love for strangers. I don't have the love for my enemies. I don't have the love for those that are different than me. If our love is wrong, then we're wrong. If it doesn't line up with God's word is what I'm saying. So in Joshua, I want to try and make this connection. In Joshua chapter 14, go to the end there. And we'll read in verse 6. That's where we'll start it. Joshua 14, verse 6. And I'm going to do my best on these words. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up and went up with me made the heart of the people melt." But listen to this. It says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And as he has these 45 years later, ever since the Lord spoke to me, or spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. But listen to his claim. I wish we all felt this way. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, but going out, both for going out and coming in." Verse 12. "Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you've heard in that day that Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. To this day, because he what? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. But listen to this last statement. Then the land had rest from war. And you know me, I'm always trying to say, hey, could it relate to this? But I'm thinking, for someone that has wholeheartedly followed the Lord, it says, then there was rest from war. And I think as we pursue to try and say, hey, can we follow the Lord wholeheartedly? As we do that, will we find rest from war as well? What kind of war, Adam? That internal mess. That internal stuff that always ties us up and it hardens our heart. Or it keeps it, we try and keep a little secret place hidden from others. When we wholeheartedly follow God, He'll give us rest from the war that's inside of us. And I get that they're talking about land, and there was war over that land for many years. But I'm telling you, that wholehearted pursuit of God, He gives us that rest. And He promises us that rest in His Word, but it's not through sleep. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you know, when you sleep for 12 hours, you think, whew, I'll be rested. And you wake up and you're thinking, I'm more tired than when I get 4 or 5 hours. And I said, I pray that God gives you rest that no amount of sleep will give you. No hours or anything like that is going to give you that kind of rest. And I think it's interesting in God's Word, as I read that portion from the hymn earlier, because God promises, hey, when you do these things, you will have my rest, you'll have my peace, you will have my joy. I came so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. But this person wrote to him and said, my goal is God Himself. They even put behind joy, they put behind peace, they put behind blessings, and said, God Himself, my God. And then went further and said, man, tis His to lead. My life is His to lead it. Remember, even Jesus Christ, as He was in the garden, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, He's in the garden praying. God, if there's any way this cup can pass, let it. Nevertheless, your will, not my will, be done. Now turn to the back of your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter. And the question I asked was, hey, are we willing to follow God wholeheartedly? And it is a willingness issue, as I said. Do we have what it takes to commit to doing these things? And as we've talked about so many times, at least in the Wednesday night Bible study, we have this. We know how it's going to end. People back then, they were living it day by day. And to a degree, we still live it day by day. We go through and say, okay, here's today, now tomorrow. Oh, I didn't know what that was going to be. What we do have are things to say, in case this comes up, tomorrow or in the future, here's how to handle that. But we still don't know what tomorrow brings. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want us to think about this because I referenced, if we know the Bible and we get it right, but our love is wrong, then we're wrong. And I want us to think about this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 7 through 9. And it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Why would he tell us that? It says it right after that. For love will cover a multitude of sins. And it goes on to say, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. But down there in verse 11, it also says that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. So as we do these things, we have to remember, in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And the reason I bring that up is love will cover a multitude of sins, but it's not okay for us to just say, well, your love should cover that. If I was planning that trip to Washington, D.C. for Cindy and I, and she said, when are we going? I said, well, we're supposed to go out to the airport. I thought we were leaving. I didn't buy any tickets. And no, we don't have a trip planned. I'm just, again, saying, because she's not here, I can say in case. If I didn't buy those, and she's mad, going, our whole trip's ruined. Oh, well, you love me. It'll cover a multitude of sins, including my ignorance and this, that, and the other thing. We can't just stay there and say, God tells you to love me. Yes, he does, but he also says you should have been more diligent to take care of business. But up there at the top of verse 7, it says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. You know, we've talked about sin and sin awareness and God's love. We talked about following him wholeheartedly. But I got to say, in this world where we are, you can find a million different videos on the internet about how cruddy mankind is. You'll find some good ones about how great mankind is as well. You'll see parents treating their children so poorly in the language they use to speak to them. And you'll see the children speaking so poorly to their parents in the language they use to them and treating them poorly. And I thought, it's time. We have got to be more serious. We've got to be more serious and watchful of what we're doing. The garbage in, the garbage out. I think when we talk about sin awareness, we have to start looking at that and say, where is it in my life? Now, when I find it, what am I going to do with it? Just put it in my jacket and hide it so no one can see it. No. Sometimes it's being open and it's being vulnerable. And it's sharing with others, hey, this is going on. But it's saying be aware of it so that we can change it, so that we can move it. and move ourselves into closer community with Jesus Christ. I mean, after all our walk, Charlotte, I believe you mentioned Wednesday, to help us what? Be more clearly focused on our walk, on our journey, on our path. And I referenced a car commercial where they go into place and say, hey, is this such and such on the map? And the guy says, it won't be on that map. Let me show you where it is. Come follow me. And he's blind. He says, stop, listen. You can hear it. Turn left here. And I think that's what happens when we spend time with Jesus in his word and with Jesus saying, God, help me. Help me become aware of the sin that's in my life. Help draw that out and then give me a way to deal with that. I'll never forget early teaching from the Bradshaws. And Dale said, man, if I want to get rid of chocolate in my life, I'm not going to say, God, help me forget about chocolate. Chocolate, 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 chocolate. But I remember he said, I'm going to pray, God, help me not desire that. But I'm not, you know, if you just focus, God removes chocolate from my life. Chocolate, 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 chocolate. You just keep thinking about it. But he said, I'm praying for God to take away the desire for that chocolate and remove that from my life. And I've never forgotten that. Help remove the desire for whatever that sin is. Help remove me from the setting that puts me where that sin is. Lord, keep me out of the convenience store where they sell chocolate. No, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's remove the desire for me to want that. And I remember specifically chocolate was the thing that he used. Now, I don't know if that was a challenge for you, but chocolate is what you used. We have to be conscious of sin in our life and conscious to say, God, I know you don't want me to stay here. And it's okay to be somewhere for a while and struggle through it. But God says, I don't want you to stay there. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help to draw that to our attention before we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for you coming to draw attention to the sin that's in our life. God, help us know where sin is, what it looks like. God, help us understand how it hurts us. God, give us an awareness of that. God, help us to have a desire to follow you wholeheartedly. To stop the war that's within us when we don't. God, help us understand your love for us so that we can love others in that same manner, to that same depth, to those we know, to strangers, to our enemies, to our neighbors. Help us have that same love that you showed us and you continue to show us. God, as we examine ourselves before the Lord's table, those areas that didn't set well with us, help us correct those as well. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives to just take control and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.